You would be moving in with your boyfriend, then she would be moving in with her boyfriend.
With two men in the house.
There was some problem between the boyfriends.
It was one man too many.
Where is your boyfriend? He sounds charming.
Incarcerated.
For what?
Assault.
Assault on whom?
On her boyfriend.
He must have assaulted him pretty badly.
No.
He stabbed me in the chest.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. 23-year-old Tanya Luna is suing her former roommate, Maricela Duran, for breaking their lease and for damages to the apartment.
Order. All rise. Case number 54 on the calendar in the matter of Luna versus Duran.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated. Folks, have a seat.
Miss Luna, you and Miss Duran were friends and decided to sign a lease together. You signed the 9-month lease, just the two of you. But the understanding was that you would be moving in with your boyfriend and she would be moving in with her boyfriend. So far, correct?
Yes.
And you did, in fact, move in, the four of you together. I assume this was a 2-bedroom accommodation?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
You moved out after 5 months because there was some problem between the boyfriends. And you want Miss Duran to pay her half of the last 4 months of rent.
6 months. November, December, January, February, March, April. So 5.5 because the lease ended April 9th.
5 months rent. She paid you November.
No, I did not receive November.
Yes, she paid you November.
I did not receive November's payment. I have not.
Okay. In any event, the defendant says that you changed the locks, you changed the agreement, you got an order of protection against her boyfriend, which precluded her boyfriend from coming into the house, which changed the agreement. Therefore, she moved out. She's counterclaiming because she says you and your boyfriend forced her to pay November's rent, telling her that she couldn't get the rest of her stuff unless she paid November's rent. And then she didn't live there in November. She's got a counterclaim for November's rent. So my question to you is as follows. If she moved out in November and you did not get November's rent, why did you wait until May to sue her?
I went to sue her before, and I was told by a legal advice I needed to wait closer till the lease is up.
Who told you that? I'm just curious, not that it's...
The legal advice with the North County courthouse. They offer legal advice to help you for free. I went in and asked.
You pay nothing, you get nothing for advice.
Well, they told me to go closer to the lease being up because if I'm trying to sue for money that's due later, that I can't sue her.
What somebody else should have said to you, if you, in fact, had a protective order, which you did have against her boyfriend?
Against her boyfriend.
That's okay. Your contract with her, your oral contract with her, was that each of you would be moving in with your respective boyfriends.
We had an understanding.
No, that's not an understanding.
With the apartment complex as well.
I'm not talking about... Between the two of you and the apartment complex, you had a contract. Your contract was the lease.
Yes.
Between the two of you,
yes.
Your agreement was that each of you would be living there with your boyfriends. Four of you would be living in the apartment. That was the agreement between the two of you.
Yeah, but I had the understanding, too, that he wouldn't always be there and her boyfriend wouldn't always be there. He stayed with his aunt. He has somewhere to be to take care of his grandmother. I wasn't aware. I mean, yeah, they had belongings there. Yeah, they stayed there. Yeah, we had children together for them to both take care of while we both worked. But it was an understanding.
You're double-talking me. Don't try to double-talk me. Your understanding with her was that the four of you would be living together. She and her boyfriend, you and your boyfriend, but only the two of you signed the lease. That was your agreement. Now, on what date did you get a protective order against her boyfriend?
It was sometime in the beginning of November. I believe it was November 2nd. I have it here.
I'd like to see it. Where is your boyfriend? He sounds charming. Where is he?
Incarcerated.
For what?
For her boyfriend coming over to where we stay.
Don't. I'm not speaking to you. What is he incarcerated for? Not for her boyfriend coming over anywhere. He's incarcerated for robbery, assault.
Assault
on whom?
On her boyfriend.
And how long has he been incarcerated?
November 4th.
Has he been convicted or is he awaiting trial?
He's awaiting.
Well, if he's awaiting trial and he's incarcerated since November, this wasn't his first offense.
Yes.
Impossible.
No.
Impossible.
No record.
Then he must have assaulted him pretty badly.
No.
Are you kidding me?
Just a second. Stand up, please. Your name is?
Darren Crawford.
Mr. Crawford, what was the nature of the assault?
He stabbed me in the chest.
Were you hospitalized?
Yes, I was.
For how long?
24 hours.
Thank you. You can sit down.
Oh, my God.
What?
He was actually in the hospital probably like 1 to 2 hours because he returned back to the property and continued to make threats to my family while we were outside on the porch.
Yes. If you speak again, I'm just going to dismiss your case.
I'm sorry.
You do understand that.
I'm sorry.
She was also outside while...
I'm telling you, does your boyfriend have bail?
No.
He was denied bail?
No, he was given bail.
But he couldn't make it. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
What was his bail?
$5,000, I believe.
Do you know what his bail was?
Yes, it was on the website, and it said that it was $300,000+. She may be relating to go to a Bell's bond. You have to pay $5,000, but it was over $300,000 to get out, and it was assault with a deadly weapon and criminal threat were his charges. He almost had 6 counts of different...
No, but it all had to do with one event.
2 events, because he had 2 counts of criminal threat. 1, because of the restraining order, what he threatened me. Another, because he threatened my fiance, Darren Crawford, and also assaulted him with a knife and stabbed him.
Did your boyfriend have any guns?
No.
Did he ever, in the course of your relationship, own or possess any guns?
No.
Did you ever hear him threaten the plaintiff?
No.
That's not true. Did you ever hear him threaten the plaintiff?
No.
Why did you move out in November?
Because I stood at the apartment some days I didn't, still paid the bills. And after the texting threatening that happened against the plaintiff.
By your boyfriend?
Correct. And her as well. It was vice versa. Either way, I came back to the apartment to get some of my son's stuff and some of my stuff, figuring that I'd let the situation cool down for a few and just remove some property. When I went back to the apartment, I tried to put
my... Went back from where?
From my mother's house.
So you were staying at your mother's house?
Right.
For how long?
It varied. A few days, and we'd go back to the apartment for a few days.
Who's we?
Me and my boyfriend. Well, my family.
Was your boyfriend staying at your mother's house?
With me, yes.
After there was a protective order, he was staying at your mother's house.
The protective order came after the incident of when I went to go put my key in the door and the locks were changed. The texting happened, I believe, like the 29th or the 30th of October. And she said, I'm going to call the police. And I said, do what you have to do. That's fine.
Call the police about what?
Because of the texting threatening.
I'm so sorry.
No, you said so far that's the third. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Next time I just say goodbye because I have other things to do this afternoon. Do you understand? Mm. Okay. Go ahead.
So after that incident, she said she was going to call the police because she felt threatened by my boyfriend. I told her that was fine if she felt that her life was threatened to go ahead and call the police. So she said she was going to do so.
That was on October 29th.
Right.
We're talking about November 2nd.
That's when she served the paper and we were already at my mother's house after the texting incident.
So you had moved out?
No.
When did you and your boyfriend leave the apartment?
I left the apartment the same day that I went and found that the locks were changed. I had to jump through the balcony, went in and found that all my property was stolen out of my room. And as I was coming outside...
You need to shut up, okay?
As I was coming out, bringing stuff down, her boyfriend then said, what nerve do I have to be there? As I was taking the rest of my stuff because they already withheld.
Why were you taking the rest of your stuff?
Because I went inside, all my property was missing.
Okay.
And I didn't feel like that was the situation for me to stay.
You have to pay your half of the rent for 4 months.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Did I take care of everything I had to take care of? Yes?
Yeah.
What?
And later today.
She was as kind to you as she could possibly be, but when she went back to the house after you left, you had left the place a disaster.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Tanya Luna says former roommate Maricela Duran broke their lease. She is suing for rent and for damages to their apartment.
Now, what was your half of the rent?
$535.
Okay. Prove to me that you paid her the $535 for November's rent.
Okay. And it was given cash, ma'am, and my mom was there to witness
I'm not going to listen to your mother.
The most you can withdraw from the bank at one time is $500, so I went to Dollar Tree that was right next door and withdrew another $50.
I believe you. That's why I've only awarded her $2,140, which is 4 months' rent, not five. Because your lease was up in April, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Did I take care of everything I had to take care of? Yes? $2,140. What?
What about the damages that were by her as well, because she was there?
You were the last 4 months?
Yes.
With your boyfriend?
Yes.
Then you take care of the damages. $2,140. By the way, was there a security deposit that you put in?
Yes, and I paid it myself.
Just a sec.
I'm sorry.
How much was the security deposit?
$100. But there was also application fee and the rent for July that I paid all of myself.
$2,140, 4 months rent. Thank you, that's all.
Parties are excused, you may step out.
I've known Tanya as a little kid, and since she's been with Darren Crawford, he's been a controlling person.
I believe that her boyfriend was really controlling.
Her boyfriend is incarcerated.
Where were we going? She's cussing at him in the street.
She's been in two relationships where they're both incarcerated.
Why don't I make him food?
If I was such a horrible guy, I think I'd be the one in jail and not her boyfriend.
I thought it was different with her since we've been friends for so long.
I would prefer them to be friends, but obviously one individual came in the picture.
She changed the locks, which was illegal.
We were like family, really close.
They had been friends before me.
We grew up together, went through everything together.
They had been friends when I was there.
We were friends until she started to do things that weren't friendly.
When her boyfriend came, then all of a sudden there was problems. But it's my fault.
I'm not no one to judge somebody.
I guess it's a lesson learned to watch who you trust and who you live with and bring around your family.
I mean, it's done, and, you know, I wish her the best of luck.
And now the next case.
All parties in the matter of McNeese Bishop versus Lansbury. Step forward, please.
Daniel and his girlfriend, Kayleen Bishop, are suing their former landlord, Catherine Lansbury, for property damage caused by a fire. And for the return of their security deposit.
What is your name?
Kayleen Bishop.
And you are Mr. McNeese?
Yes.
Who's going to speak?
I will, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. McNeese, you and Ms. Bishop were tenants of the defendant. There was a fire in the premises that you leased from her. You want several things. You wanted to be responsible for some of the personal property that was damaged in the premises.
That's correct.
As a result of the fire. And in addition, you want the return of your security deposit. The defendant says that if you had property damage as a result of a fire, that you should have had renter's insurance, which would have taken care of any damage, that she was as kind to you as she could possibly be, but when she went back to the house after you left, you had left the place a disaster, and it required a lot to fix it up, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Can I see the lease that you have, please? What kind of a premises was it, Mr. McNeese?
Is it a house?
Private house?
It was a two-bedroom house, yes.
Okay. And nobody else lived there other than you?
That is correct. And Ms. Bishop.
Mm-hmm. Where did the fire start? Do you know?
It started in the attic. It's an older house, and it was an electrical wire that triggered the a fire of some insulation.
You do understand Section 24 of your lease?
Yes.
Want to read that to me?
Let's see here. Insurance. Tenant acknowledges the landlord will not provide insurance coverage for tenant's property, nor shall landlord be responsible for any loss of tenant's property, whether by theft, fire, acts of God, or otherwise. However, the defendant did say on multiple occasions that she would compensate us for the...
Mr. McNeese, I'm going to tell you what the law is.
Okay.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
They were not in exclusive control of that premises from the beginning of January until the end of January when you had contractors there.
But the contractors don't have dogs, ma'am.
I don't know whether they do or not. And neither do you, because you can't tell me that.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Daniel McNeese and Kayleen Bishop claim former landlord Catherine Lansbury owes for property damage caused by a fire
and for the return of their security deposit.
Now, Mr. McNeese, you cannot go outside the four corners of a written contract with an oral agreement. You can only go outside the terms of this contract in another writing signed by both, but that's why you have a lease.
Right.
That's why if you go in to buy a car, the car is sold as is. You can't come in and say, but he said it was in great condition and he just had the tires rotated and changed and the brakes were just redone. But the four corners of the contract are what the law deals with. Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you understand that she's not responsible for any damage to any property that you had as a result of this fire?
Yes.
So tell me what you want from her.
As the claim states, we are seeking compensation for the bed mattress and drying clean.
You're not going to get it.
Along
it's clear
with,
in your, listen to me, it's clear in your lease that you're not entitled to it, so I don't even have to hear about it.
Okay.
The lease specifically says, you want insurance, get your own. She doesn't have insurance, and she's not responsible, whether by fire, theft, acts of God, or otherwise. Landlord is not responsible for your loss. So now tell me what else you think she's responsible for.
That'd be the $600 security deposit.
There's no question they gave you a $600 security deposit?
That's correct.
Okay, and you did not return it to them?
No, ma'am.
Tell me why.
When I returned to the house after the house fire, they couldn't live in the house for a month. I returned their January's month rent of $950 because they could not live there.
Okay.
And 5 days before the start of February, they decided that they were going to move out even though the house was going to be ready within another week.
Okay.
So that's fair, but
they can do that.
It does break the terms within the lease. When I arrived at the house, I was living out of town, 2 hours north of Boise where the house was located. When I came back after they had vacated the house, there was a broken window.
Well, they never moved back into the house, or they did move back into the house?
No, their belongings were still in the house even through the fire, when the contractors were there repairing the damage upstairs from the fire. So their stuff was there, their property.
Their property was still there, but they were not there. And you had contractors there?
Correct.
How many contractors did you have there?
There were several subcontractors there, from insulation to flooring people, painters, whatever.
Okay, so you got to the house sometime in January.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
In the meantime, their items were still, even though I gave them back their rent and everything, their items were still in the house till the start of February. When I returned to the house, I believe it was on February 2nd, there were several things that were really wrong, starting with the yard was not taken care of as specified in the lease, including removal of dog feces, things such as that, piles of leaves, whatever. Inside the house, there was a broken window, which they claimed they did not do, but it was
not. It's
very
possible that they did not do it. There was a fire.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Closed captioning sponsored by... Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com or call 1-888-800-JUDY.
Go ahead.
Anyway, there was the broken window, and then there was etching on an old, these are all old 1910 glass windows, and then there were also some honeycomb kind of expensive blinds that were ruined by their dog.
How do you know they were ruined by their dog?
It was when they were living there.
No, you had contractors there. You have to return their security deposit, $600. What else?
That's fairly accurate. The defendant and I did speak
just one second. Oh. You're getting your security deposit back. What else do you want?
Oh, that's it?
That's it.
Yeah.
Good. They get their security deposit back, madam, because they were not in exclusive control of that premises from the beginning of January until the end of January when you had contractors there.
Okay, but the contractors don't have dogs, ma'am.
I don't know whether they do or not, and neither do you because you can't tell me that. So I don't know whether they do or whether they brought dogs there. I don't know. Probably not. But since you don't know, and since you can't prove any of it,
sure.
Since you had lots of other people working in your house, you can't ascribe what you saw when you got back there to them. Did they finally move their stuff out?
They had their stuff moved out by February 1st.
By February 1st?
Correct.
Okay, then they get their security deposit back. That's all. Judgment plaintiff, $600.
Parties are excused when they step out. Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
It was a fair enough decision.
I thought it was exactly what we were expecting.
We never signed a paper saying that there was damage previous to when we moved in, so she can't get us on any of that.
There were other contractors in the house.
It was fair.
So the security deposit, I'm getting back to them, and that's fair enough.
I'm just glad we got some money back.
It was about $600, which was actually the claim that I expected to get when I actually filed it.
I'd come home from work, and a neighbor had called the fire department.
It was a 1910 house.
There was smoke coming out of the house.
It was a house fire caused by electrical wiring that was just super old.
I got my dog out. That's good.
It's written in there. It's signed contract. I have no problems with that whatsoever.
Perhaps get renter's insurance.
Well, I gave them back their rent.
I'll consider getting renter's insurance next time, possibly.
Not make actions based on the goodness out of my heart.
Yeah, I will do it for sure, yes.